You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This week on Blitz, what do you think benefited the Bills more? Tom Brady leaving or their offseason pickups? Plus, we dig into the madness of the DeAndre Hopkins trade. All that and more, so sit back and crack a cold one from a safe social distance. It's time to get Blitz. Welcome to Blitzed, where we talk football and rate popular drinks at the same time. It's the start of our fourth season on the air. Although it's not quite the kickoff to the year that we had envisioned, due to the global lockdown because of the rampant COVID-19 virus, the coach and rookie are the model for social distancing by joining tonight's broadcast by phone. Although coach is calling in on a payphone, which I wouldn't recommend.
I need some more quarters.
When we hear
a Walmart parking lot.
Okay, so guys, sports have been canceled for the time being, and we may not even see football start on time in September. And recently, I don't know if you've seen this, but ESPN tweeted out a video of a guy who could make 5 pizza boxes in like 30 seconds. So like that's what qualifies as sports now on ESPN. So what else do you think will qualify as sports over the next 4 to 6 months?
Figure skating? Golf? Those won't happen either. Well, okay, you're talking sort of more non-sports.
I think so. I think that's okay. Fair.
Oh, okay. So like curb stomping? Is that in there?
Jesus.
What neighborhood do you live in?
I'm in Walmart, okay?
Yeah, wow. What Walmart are you in? What is it? Detroit? You're in a Detroit Walmart. I got one.
Rookie.
I'm going meta here. I think avoiding coronavirus will become an elite sport.
Oh, I like that a lot.
You know, I'd love to see just a group of people in a field somewhere, like taking their dogs for a walk, and a referee kind of flagging a guy when he gets close to another guy.
I love it.
Like, penalty, you know, within 2 feet.
I love it.
Wow. Hey, what about toilet paper hoarding? That could be a sport of sorts.
Holy cow.
You could basically launch people into a Walmart fully stocked with toilet paper and just see how it goes.
Hey, Coach, I have a question for you. Are you literally putting the receiver in your mouth right now as you talk? I'm just curious.
Maybe I'm a little excited there.
A little bit. You know, you're on a public phone. Like, cool it, okay? Take it easy.
Choking hazard.
You know that game that you see every once in a while where those people wear those bubble suits and they go running, they play that soccer game against each other? Like, I'm thinking that's the sport that's going to happen, except it's going to be full dome. You're fully encased. I mean, you'd have to be.
Just elite bubble boy.
Introducing tonight's starting lineups. The coach.
Seriously, I did not know about this. This is so awesome.
The rookie.
Get out there and smash.
And stats.
I'm just the stats guy. I have no idea.
That's kind of my thing. That's kind of my thing.
As you know, we don't believe in rationing our alcohol. So when the masses started hoarding alcohol in preparation for this global shutdown, we were left a little high and dry because, you know, we're not that proactive. At least I was. So tonight, I'm being forced to drink that bottle of booze that was always in the back of my liquor cabinet, but I never really paid attention to. So, yep, tonight, I'm enjoying a nice chilled glass of blue Curacao. What are you guys having tonight?
I had two hidden back there. Lots of dust on them.
Oh.
So I've chilled some champagne, some old bad bottle.
Oh, my God.
And then I've chased it, not chased it, but I put on top of it Cointreau.
What are you stuck in an episode of Sex and the City? What is your deal?
It's gonna
you're a mad scientist over here.
I am. It's glorious. Actually, it's really bad, but that's okay.
Rookie, what are you having tonight?
I have an 8-year-old frozen pack of Mike's Hard Lemonade that I've been using as an ice pack for the last 8 years whenever I get a banged up knee or something.
I love it. Oh my God.
And it's pretty great. You just pour it into your glass and it's basically like a Bellini.
I love
it's
it.
Nice.
It's so good. All right, well, shall we get on with this?
What are we doing?
Well, we're going to talk football.
What's football?
Exactly. You know what?
Right?
A perfect segue for our first down.
First down.
Guys, which will have a bigger impact this year for the Bills? Tom Brady leaving the AFC East or the Bills adding Stephon Diggs on offense and Josh Norman, AJ Klein, Mario Addison, Vernon Butler, and Quentin Jefferson to the defense?
Jesus.
Tom Brady.
It's Tom Brady.
Oh,
come
really?
On.
Oh, come on.
No, it is. Come on, guys. There's no other. Don't get me wrong. They are responding to Tom Brady leaving very well. They got no holes anymore. They're really good. And if as long as Josh Allen can ball out, then oh my God. If he takes a leap forward next year, then they're fucking cool as hell. They might need some help at running back, but they're a cool team. They're a fun team to watch now.
But Singletary is going to become the bell cow, man.
Well, he was. Don't get me wrong. Singletary won me my fantasy league last year.
Hey, coach, how long did that take?
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, it took longer than I thought it would.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But no. But that's the only real question mark, I think. But this is all because Tom Brady left.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to see Brady back with the Patriots because I said my thing in jest. The Bills loaded up. You know that their offseason was amazing.
Right.
And in places of need and with great players, they should be a powerhouse. And I would love to have seen them take down the Patriots with Brady at the helm because I think they would have this year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just too much there. There's not enough in New England. Brady's, of course, on the decline. And you're right. Allen has to ball out. Allen has to improve. His accuracy has to improve. You know, because he's balling out in certain ways, of course, in terms of his scheduled plays and his running, and he does make opportunistic plays, but he's just not consistent enough to drive after drive, of course.
Yeah.
And so, but with that talent around him, and you're right, Singletary, the running game does need to come up, but that's a healthy team. They'll be a fun team to watch in 2021.
Oh, for sure.
But think about Josh Allen. So Josh Allen's, when he came into the league, his top receiver was fucking Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah, that's not good.
Oh. And Kelvin Benjamin, I don't even think he's in the NFL anymore. But then they surrounded him with weapons. They got Cole Beasley. They got John Brown. And look at what that did from year one to year two. And then they give him like an actual true number one elite kind of route runner dude in Diggs. Like this guy. And their tight end situation is really good. I don't know, man. You're right. He doesn't have to ball out. He just has to sling fucking a cannon towards Diggs and just score. Diggs needs 15 touchdowns, and that's all. And they're laughing. But
oh no,
it's such a shame we'll never see this Bills team beat the Brady-led Patriots. It is. It's such a shame. How amazing would that have been if there was a turning of the tide with like 2-3 years left of Brady?
Oh, fair enough.
Where the Bills just took a run at them. Oh my God.
Well, they scared them plenty last year. Remember, I mean, they lost that game at home by turning the ball over 5 times, and they barely lost that game. What's that?
Is that why Brady left? You think he was looking around?
It's
and
called
he was saying,
the writing on the wall. Come on.
Conspiracy.
Yeah. Oh, did the Bills force Brady out?
Oh yeah, I think that narrative could get some traction. I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's build
starting
up.
Here.
Build
you heard it here first.
I'm going to take not Brady leaving, but I'm going to be taking the beefing up on defense, even though they had a couple of losses, some free agency signings away. But also, Stephon Diggs, if you listen to Dan Orlovsky, he was saying that he absolutely loves Diggs going to the Bills because not only they've got their inside receiver, right? They've got Beasley. Mm-hmm. They've got their outside receiver. And Brown had a fucking great year. He had a career year last year.
So did Beasley, though. So did
That's true. Caught 60-plus balls, right? And then now you've got a guy who can be an inside and outside guy. I mean, he is a he's a matchup nightmare, which is terrific. Yeah, so even though I don't expect Diggs to have a phenomenal year, he's going to open up so much more stuff. And that's what I really think is exciting about this offense, because where they did suffer last year is that they just couldn't put points on the board when they really needed to. They had to rely on that defense. So they've gotten stronger. However, I think they've gotten immensely stronger on offense.
Do you think Diggs going to Buffalo is kind of similar to like Odell going to Cleveland? Like, you know, Odell, I know it's not a direct one for one, but we were expecting like Odell, true number one wideout, going to, you know, a quarterback that can sling it. And he just had pedestrian numbers. But what he did for the other players, you know, he opened the game right up. Do you think it's going to be similar to that? Or do you think Diggs actually goes off?
I don't think that Diggs has a phenomenal year. I think that Diggs opens stuff up because, remember, with Allen, there's some comfort with Beasley and Brown now because he's had them in the system for a year. So I think that you're going to see probably everybody's numbers homogenize a little bit because I think I read the other day that the Bills now have the only wide receiving core now where both – they had two receivers go over 1,000 yards and another receiver go over 60 catches. So, I mean, that's got to even out somewhere. And so you might see production come down somewhere. But let's be honest. I think that the Bills are still built to run the ball. And, you know, they want to be able to control the clock that way. They don't want – I don't think McDermott wants this to be a – you know, a 30-point a game offense. I don't think he wants that. I think he wants to grind out and win with ball control.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, things like that, and you have to build a running game because that's how you win, especially in that part of the world too, right? Cold in November, December, and that's how they want to play. So I totally agree with that. But I mean, you want that incredible possession type receiver because Diggs isn't that massive guy on the outside, but you're right. He is that. He's that inside zone beater guy that just finds holes. And it's a very, very sure-handed catch guy. He's just, like you said, he's a matchup nightmare because he's going to be up against the strong safeties and stuff the other time. Like, he's going to make a lot of first downs for Buffalo this next year.
We're asking all the wrong questions here, guys.
You asked that question.
Oh, shit.
It's still long.
This Mike's Hard Lemonade thing is
Oh,
it's
man,
sneaky,
it's really wearing
sneaky
on you.
Good.
Yeah, it's good.
Sneaky good.
Good for you.
No, but what I'm curious about is what happens to Frank Gore? Is Frank Gore coming back?
I think he's done.
You think he's done? He has no plans. He's not retiring.
Yeah.
He's made that clear.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
But because we talked about something there. We said that, you know, the only kind of question mark they would have because on offense, I mean, is at running back because they got a guy who played for half a season. Can he do it over 16? And Frank Gore helped them really shore that up. But is he coming back? 16 years.
He's a free agent.
Yeah, and they haven't rushed to sign him. But you know what? That doesn't mean anything. Sometimes these teams wait until after the first game to bring a guy in because they don't have to guarantee a salary. So who knows what's going to happen there.
He's 1,300 yards away from Walter Payton, so that's about one season with Buffalo.
Wow.
Probably two, because he's not going to get
probably two. Yeah. No, we'll give him two. One and a half, yeah.
In good years. He's 37, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He just needs to be like a player coach, like an old-school player coach.
Well, where do you think Todd Gurley is at 37?
in a wheelchair?
What?
Not in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No,
he's slinging a used Chevy at you.
Oh my god!
Detroit in the Walmart parking lot that Bill is recording from.
Oh my god!
Second down.
I hate you.
You suck.
Why we hate Tom Brady.
So Tom Brady, okay? So of course, you know, he goes down to, and he signs with Tampa, of course, because that's what you do when you're Tom, and you leave this bleeding carcass in New England, which is their salary cap hell. Thanks so much, Tom, for that. So you go down to Tampa, and apparently the only thing he asked for when he showed up was the other player's
cucumber water.
The other, yeah, that too, right? The other player's phone numbers is what he wanted. And I think he wanted the other player's phone numbers for two reasons. One is to get his trainer, Guerrero, to sign them all up for the TB12 method for $58 a month. But also, I think that he just wanted Chris Godwin's number so he could steal his fucking number. And I think it's, like, unforgivable that this guy would go down into Chris Godwin's home and ask him as a Pro Bowler, and or he should be a Pro Bowler if he hasn't been in the Pro Bowl, for his number. I mean, this guy's an established pro, and he's just going to steal this number 12. Like, what's Tom Brady done in Tampa? Nothing. He might have won a couple of Super Bowls there, but it doesn't matter. What else has he done in Tampa? Like, nothing. And he wants number 12? This is bullshit.
So you're more pissed off at Brady or Godwin or both?
A bit of both, but to be honest, I mean, we all know that Tom's going to wind up with number 12. We all know that's going to happen, right?
But I mean, come on, Coach. The segment's called "Why We Hate Tom Brady," not "Why We Hate Chris Godwin."
I thought we talked about that pre-show. But why we hate Chris Godwin?
It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I just want to make sure.
New intro alert.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Here we go.
He's got nothing else to do.
I'd like to hear your feelings on this.
Well, I'll stand up for Godwin in one aspect. If Brady, assuming your thesis is correct, if Brady does want number 12, fair enough, Godwin has to give it up to the quarterback because as a receiver, the quarterback decides who to throw the ball to every play. And you piss him off, he may not throw you the ball. So I get it on the Godwin side. Fair enough. You know, give it up to the quarterback. He makes a decision who gets the ball every play. So that's cool. Brady-wise, I'm kind of with you, shockingly, Stats. I think if he wants to set up a new legacy, then, yeah, be number 21, you know, or whatever. You know, be a defensive back.
Yeah, be bizarro Tom Brady.
Right?
Reverse the numbers.
Right?
Go from an iconic winning franchise to an iconic losing franchise. He's already done that. So switch up the numbers.
I think because, you know, it's not going to work there. I'm not feeling good about him being there. So, yeah, switch it up. Kind of denounce the TB12. Leave that as it is up in the Northeast there and just go and retire in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
That's what they can do. Just retire.
But
you
know he's going to go after it because of that whole stupid TB12 method bullshit. Like it's not called the TB21 method in Florida now. Like it's just not going to happen.
But there's a very good chance that it's going to be really bad advertising for TB12 the next couple of years.
So you think TB21 might work well?
I think it will. It's the weight gain product.
Oh, that's nice. Wow, that's actually pretty good. Are you looking to degrade your performance?
Are you looking to increase your rate of aging?
Would you like to make more money?
These are all good pitches. I like it.
This is
good. We'll start the TB21 brand.
Rookie, what are your thoughts on this bullshit?
Look, I'm outraged.
Good.
I'm beside myself. I'm livid. Because it's very clear what's happening right now. So Tom Brady, he rolls on into this organization. And before he came, by the way, for sure. So he announces he's going to the Buccaneers. He hasn't signed anything because there wasn't anything signed. They were doing contract negotiations, which Brady was not a part of. I can guarantee you that. His personal trainer was doing most of his contract negotiations at this point.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
But so he rolls on in and all he requests – first of all, Godwin comes out. First things first. Because any savvy journalist is saying to themselves, I'm going to go ask Godwin, the current number 12 of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Correct.
I'm going to poke him and prod him.
Yep.
I'm going to say, you know what? This is the only news I got because I got nothing. I got nothing. All I got at Tampa Bay until this contract is signed, until the specifics come out, until all the blah, blah, blah. All I got is if Tom Brady comes, will you give him number 12?
Correct.
And Godwin says the right thing, by the way. Godwin goes, I don't know. You know, I can't answer that right now. I don't know how I'm going to react. Don't know if the number is going to be his. Don't know if I'm going to keep it. I don't know. So Tom Brady rolls in probably, what, 2-3 days later?
Oh, yeah.
To the organization. And what does he request? He requests the phone numbers of every member on that team. And this is where I get angry, okay? Because yeah. Tom Brady reads that headline over the paper, and he goes, this motherfucker isn't going to give me number 12?
Right.
I'm going to steal every number in your life.
Wow.
And so he requests the phone numbers of the players, and he contacts the service providers and says, I'm going to buy this.
I'm going to buy his phone all number.
All I want is Chris Godwin's phone number.
Love it.
He goes, this fucking guy, I'm going to take number 12. And I'm going to take your personal even worse, actually, because you know how painful it is to replace your phone number?
Couldn't agree
it
more.
It is brutal.
It's true.
He goes, I'm going to steal your personal cell number.
Wow.
And I'm going to just have it. I'm not even going to use that phone. It's just going to sit on my bedside table, and I'm going to read all the texts that come to it.
Wow.
That's the kind of guy Tom Brady. That's the kind of guy Tampa Tom is.
That's right, Tampa Tom. Do you know what? I also
Tampa Tom is a different beast. I fully supported what he was doing in New England, but
of course,
Tampa Tom,
yeah.
this guy's a different. He's a piece of shit. I can't. I'm here with you, man. I'm right with you. Your stats.
I did notice that Chris Godwin's Instagram account went down suddenly as soon as Tom Brady rolled into town. Coincidence?
Absolutely.
I think not. I think
yeah,
not.
Tom Brady has legally changed his name to Chris Godwin.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It was always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Down.
Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans traded all-world wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins to the Arizona Cardinals for David Johnson, a second-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a signed Larry Fitzgerald jersey. So what movie, in your opinion, best represents this trade? Who wants this?
I think Coach wants it.
Yeah, if I go first, people forget it, so that's good. So I had kind of had a couple here. I have an honorable mention to go really, really quickly. So 127 Hours is that movie with that dude that went hiking and then got his hand wedged and he had to cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice. That wasn't too bad, right? A good starter. But it doesn't really epitomize the dick and the idiot that O'Brien is.
Wow.
So I wanted to move on to something else. And I actually came upon Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
What? Are you calling Ferris Bueller a dick?
Well, that's a great movie.
It's one of the best. And but I want to focus on Principal Rooney.
Oh, okay.
If you remember how much of an ass clown this guy was.
I don't trust this kid any further than I can throw him.
Well, with your bad knee, Ed, you shouldn't throw anybody.
So he's cock of the walk. He's cocky. He's angry. He wants to own everything, like the room, the halls. He's desperate to try and like outdo these guys, especially of course Ferris Bueller. And as we know, and I won't no plot spoiler here. It's a little old, but basically these kids are basically outsmarting this arrogant, cocky ass clown for principal. And I think that sums up O'Brien really well with him and pretty much anyone in the league right now. I mean, he is just getting owned by any GM out there. I mean, any GM is probably, they're probably calling him like every day. Hey, you know, how's your quarterback looking right now? Want to trade for him? I mean, like, who wouldn't call this guy to make a trade? Because he's just done stupid things for as long as I can remember.
Was that it? You're done?
I'm done.
Oh, excellent. Oh, good one, Coach.
Hey, you still got 10 minutes on the clock. You want to say something?
No, I'm actually gaming right now, so I got to kind of.
Okay, Rookie. Hey, you know what, Coach? Good job.
Thank you.
Great job.
Good job. Great job. Clearly, Rookie, you're terrified because of this virus, so I understand you put in minimal effort there, but I appreciate it.
Love it. Great job.
Rookie, what do you got?
Okay, so this trade, there's only really one option for me. Bill O'Brien is M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And this trade is The Happening.
Oh, I love it.
So there's a couple reasons. It's because this isn't the first time he's pulled this on us.
Mrs. Jones, could we talk calmly for a second? Just hear me out. See, I'm a teacher.
You know?
Yes.
This isn't the first time he's been given a $50 million budget, a $100 million budget, and full control over writing, directing, producing, and acting credits. If you remember, this is the same dude who traded two first round picks, I believe, for Kenny Stills and Tunsil from Miami. Oh, and Miami was basically like, we're gonna have to get rid of this guy, we're gonna have to be blown away. And then Bill O'Brien's like, hold my beer. I'm gonna blow your mind right now, guys. So and he's also done it. He's done quite a few really. He traded away Jadavian, and he didn't even get a first round pick for that guy. I mean, this isn't the first time. So the Jadavian pick is kind of like, to me, it's kind of like Signs,
yep,
from 2002. You know, nice. Mel Gibson.
Oh sure.
The Tunsil and what do you call it? Stills pick is like Lady in the Water. You see this trend here?
Is it possible? There are no coincidences.
He's slowly amassing.
Oh God.
After getting the job because of maybe some success in years past, like The Sixth Sense, for instance. Or at the same year, Stuart Little. Do you guys know that he directed Stuart Little?
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's got some stuff here.
So he's got some chops.
Okay?
He's got some chops.
But that got him in the door. That got him the gig. And since then, it's been a rapid decline.
Yeah.
But here's my last point. It's not over yet. This guy, we still have The Last Airbender and After Earth. We still are waiting for these movies.
I love it.
These movies to come out because he's his own fucking boss. This guy's not going anywhere.
Wow.
He's gonna nuke the place before he before someone tells him, look, M. Night, like, you're done. Sorry, you're done. You're blackballed.
Okay, so by this rationale, the Osweiler move was, it had to be the Village.
It was the Village, absolutely.
Yeah, I see. Okay, yeah, I see right through you there. Yeah, no, that makes total sense to me.
That's why this—that's why this works so well, right? It's just so easy to plot these things on a timeline.
You know, and I got to be honest, great references, but you know, because it was such low hanging fruit, Rookie, I expected more.
Oh wow! I like the condemnation, but wow,
actually,
I still don't know half those movies. So.
You know what? Oh no, coach. It's not even apples and oranges with you. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? Okay, so here's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with John Wick 3 Parabellum.
Oh.
This deal.
I like that you included Parabellum in there, not just John Wick.
Have to.
Good job.
So this deal was, in my opinion, the ultimate clusterfuck. Like, if you were just scanning the headlines, you're like, let me get this right. DeAndre Hopkins for what? David Johnson, is he still in the league? Right, so
right?
And this is like the analogy I'm using here is that if you watched John Wick 3 and you hadn't seen any of the previous John Wicks, okay, like we don't really pay attention to the Texans, okay? The movie is just crazy, crazy fucking confusing, right? So like you're watching John Wick, you're watching John Wick 3 and you're like, okay, wait a second. So it's a guy who can't be killed whose job is just to kill things. So this is Neo. You're watching Neo from The Matrix run around. You're like, wait a second. Neo is John Wick? And you're like, well, no, that's not right because his hair is long and he's wearing a suit and it's not really working. Yep. So is he in The Matrix? Is he out of The Matrix? No, this can't be The Matrix. And lo and behold, guess what happens? He runs into fucking Morpheus and they have a nice chat.
How you doing, John? You look as bad as I feel.
Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne is hanging out chatting with him. I'm like, Larry, when did you ditch the clothes? And where's the ship, dude? What's going on here? And then you're like, no, wait a second. They're talking about some place called the High Table. That's got to be the computers, right? Because they're trying to kill them, but they can't kill them. So they're clearly in the Matrix. And then as some sort of weird sort of penance, he almost dies in a desert and then cuts off his finger. But he cuts off his finger in the Matrix. Is it really off? In real life, like, I don't know. You don't know what's happening. And then he gets into a crazy hotel fight with, like, a bunch of mirrors. Like, you're in that Bruce Lee movie. What was that? Like, Enter the Dragon or something like that? It's just, like, flat out. You just have no fucking idea what was going on. And that's how I feel about this trade. I have no fucking clue what the deal is. You get Bill O'Brien that apparently it came down to Hopkins wanted more money, like $18 million a year. The salary cap is shooting through the fucking moon here, guys. And you don't want to give a top five receiver that kind of money? They just gave Amari Cooper $20 million a year to stay in Dallas. Amari Cooper! I'm confused.
I am too.
Thank you.
There hasn't been a reasonable suggestion for this trade. I've heard, I mean, obviously you hear the nonsense about, he doesn't get along with them. But that's nothing new. He doesn't get along with anybody, apparently. So I can't really know, but to get rid of this guy who, I mean, shockingly, the Texans are still a very good team or have very good results. They seem to punch above their weight as he continues to get rid of players. But this one, I think, is too much.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he was too much of that team and too big of an impact on their offense, whether he's making other guys open or making incredible plays himself, that I think this is too big of a loss for them to overcome. And I mean, you can argue, the draft's got all these great receivers and do all this stuff, but he's 25 years old and he's a proven product, a proven top five product. So, I mean, that's just asinine to me. It really and truly is. And I think this will be that nail that says, dude, you've gone too far with your horrible management.
No. What you're failing to acknowledge, Coach, is that in his back pocket, after he ditched Hopkins, he said, aha, but I have replaced him with an aging Randall Cobb.
Oh, God. Oh, God. And Randall Cobb was great in the 90s.
Yes, okay? Exactly. Exactly.
That was Weren't Randall we all... Cobb the second. That was Randall Cobb the second. This is Randall Cobb the fourth.
Good Lord. Yeah.
Let me tell you why I don't like your take.
Oh, no. Good. Because you didn't like my take. That's what
Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't like your take because John Wick is awesome.
Oh.
It is. Have you watched 1, 2, and 3?
No, here's the thing. If you hadn't watched 1 and 2, you would be totally confused.
I get that. But here's the other thing.
Oh.
You'd have to be a moron to confuse Neo with John Wick. He's got a beard and long hair. That's why he's got a beard and long hair. Because of those idiots out there that would tune in to a movie and think this guy is Neo.
To be fair, I rented this movie with Coach a little while ago. So this is all we talked about.
That's true. And I fell asleep.
Oh, yeah, it's a good call. He thought it was The English Patient, too.
Yeah. I read this book.
Totally, right? I know the ending. I don't care. I'm going to sleep.
All right, I think we've kicked this dog to death. Let's fucking move on.
Fourth down.
Which free agent signing was the biggest head-scratcher for you? Was it Emmanuel Sanders to the Saints? Austin Hooper to the Browns? Amari Cooper for $100 million to stay with the Cowboys? Or Randall Cobb to the Texans? Or you can go off the board.
Good question. I mean, of the four, I'm loath to go off the board two times in a row.
But that's your style.
That'd be disrespectful to you, though. You put, 15 minutes into preparation for this.
Let's be honest. I'm on lockdown. I put in 19 minutes today.
Holy.
Yeah, so don't insult me.
Wow. The Hooper thing was a bit of a head-scratcher because I thought that they already had David Njoku there who was, the heir apparent. He was the new kind of hot dude on the block.
Yeah.
He obviously hasn't really panned out because I drafted him last year and he did fucking nothing for me.
However,
yeah, I did win.
You still won your fantasy league. Yeah.
Yeah. It was only through elite trading and maybe a sprinkling of trade rape that I managed to salvage the season.
Just a soupçon of trade rape, I think.
Exactly. But the Hooper thing is, the Hooper thing is wild because he's now the highest paid tight end ever.
Oh, I know.
And they already have a guy at the position. So they're clearly going for this two tight end kind of set, which that's a lot of money to tie up, into tight ends, right? I don't know what kind of contract. Maybe StatsGuy can help me out with this. Where's Njoku on his contract here? You got that for me right now?
He's in his third year. He's getting paid about $500,000 a year.
Okay. All right. Yeah,
Efforting there.
Yeah. So efforting. So it was just an interesting because the other thing is you have to understand that anyone that Matty Ice is throwing to, Matty Ice is the king of overinflated stats. The guy is throwing a billion yards a season. He's playing catch up, especially the last couple of years. Where he's averaging 500 yards a game because he's just chucking the ball late in the game. But
yeah,
it was just a weird signing where Atlanta kind of discarded this guy. They couldn't keep him. And right up was Cleveland. And Cleveland seems to be this team that's signing a lot of high-end guys and giving them high-end contracts. To me, it was you already have a guy. Why don't you maybe draft some guys at the position and pay him peanuts? It was just a weird thing. To make that guy the highest paid tight end ever,
right,
was weird. It was a weird thing for Cleveland to do, and they must think that they're one or two kind of pieces or one or two years away from actually doing this thing. It was just weird. It was kind of a head scratcher. As soon as I read it, I was like, Cleveland, really?
That's
weird.
Coach, what do you got?
Yeah.
So off the board, it looks like for me.
Oh.
I forget the list, but I'm going to say Todd Gurley. Was he off the board?
Yeah, he was off the board.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, so my issue with Gurley is that here he had the highest powered offense of 2 years ago, and then they don't use this guy. So obviously the Rams know something about him, and they didn't do well last year, and they didn't use him. And if he was up to it, they would have used him. So here you have Atlanta, And I can't imagine how many people were knocking down Gurley's door without being able to do a physical on the guy.
Right.
So it's just like, why did you rush and then give him like, well, I don't know, give him millions, like $6-7 million a year or something like that.
Yeah. Right?
It's just like, it just seems a bit just early. Like, dude, just wait it out. I mean, no one's rushing to get this guy because the Rams didn't want him. And that he was the offensive player of the year like 2 or 3 years ago and has the most touchdowns in the last 3 or 4 years or whatever. I mean,
right.
He was an absolute staple. He was the reason they were so great on offense, and they just cast him off. They're just like, maybe just hold it there. Hold your water for a little bit there.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Get him in there after, you know, this wonderful period or an ends. And figure it out from there. But it's not like, oh my God, if we miss him, everything's going to go down. It's like, you know, it's like Houston going, oh, we got to get this David Johnson guy. He's been great for the last couple of years. Like, this doesn't work that well.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like desperation that doesn't need desperation.
Totally.
Interesting take from Coach there. I think Houston, I don't think they've watched the NFL for 3 or 4 years.
Way back machine.
I think you may have figured that out. I think they live in their own world, and they're like, Randall Cobb. The last I knew about Randall Cobb is this guy's elite.
I think on that note, I think it's about time we wrap this up.
Wrap it up.
Yep, we don't put out shows very often in the off season, but I gotta tell you, this one's been a winner. So very excited to have the two guys join us on the show tonight. And folks, you know what, we're in for a virtual NFL draft. We might be in for a virtual NFL season, but all we know is you know, this pandemic is pretty serious, so please take it as seriously as we do. Practice your safe social distancing, and hopefully this thing will clear it up in time for September, so we can all get together again and do what we enjoy best, is watch the game we love.
And for God's sake, stay home for the sake of football.